vision goes like this. When we see Jesus clearly, we'll see his kingdom obviously. And it's a beautiful principle. It's a beautiful instruction in Scripture. And it's a principle that always works, by the way. It always works. So you remember last week we covered... I'm so excited. I finished up this series this weekend, putting it on paper for The Beautiful Blind. And I'm so full. I'll tell you, I'm so excited. I'm so full. This is going to be, I believe, so powerful for you individually and for your family and for us as a church and those that are listening in on podcast. We welcome you, and I wish I could sit down with you personally and share this. It's so impactful. But last week we were with the disciples when Jesus multiplied the little lad's lunch of 5 tortillas and a couple sardines. And he multiplied that little lunch to feed thousands and thousands of people. Scripture says 5,000 men, and that wasn't counting the women and children. Some Bible experts say they believe it's up to 15, 20,000 people. However, how many thousands it was an absolute miracle. And they received the best fish tacos right out of heaven that they had ever tasted and ever experienced. And not only this, the Bible says they ate until they were all completely satisfied. No hunger among them. Boy, that's a good word. No need. Our shepherd, we shall not want. We shall not lack. He fed them more than enough. As a matter of fact, there was leftovers after the event. And this is the point I'm getting to quickly, because this is what transfers into the next miracle. And by the way, let me rush to say that the last miracle holds a wisdom key to your next miracle.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I hope you see this today. But really and truly, they had 12 baskets left over. And it was 12 disciples, 12 baskets. That's not an accident. That's something the Lord did on purpose. And so they each had a personal basket to go put on the boat with them. You say, well, Brother Tim, the Lord provided them a midnight snack. It's possible. But I'm here to share with you, and it took me a couple decades to get this, because I always wondered, what were the baskets for? I just can't see that when you're with the one who can make something out of nothing, that you have to carry leftovers to make it happen. But really and truly, I always felt like there was more to it. I think I got this a couple decades ago. But it goes like this, that the personal baskets were to be a personal memorial. A memorial is an object or memory that keeps remembrance alive. Keeps remembrance alive. One of the keys to walking with Jesus is to practice meditating on his works. We're told in Scripture to confess and to tell his works, to meditate on his works, to meditate on him and his word and his works. When you meditate on him and his works and his word, the Holy Spirit reveals to you who he is. And so this is a key to remembering, because we tend to forget. Oh, come on, I'm preaching in the right place. You know it's true. We tend to forget. That's why we need a book of remembrance. We know the Lord has one. We need one to record the works of God in our life and to meditate on that works, because what he's done before, he can do it again. Even though it's a completely different scenario, different situation, he's the same. He's never changed. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will be the I am in your life. And what's great about his name being I am is I am everything you need. I am whatever you need. I am your answer in whatever situation it is. That's the name of our God. That's Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. And so really and truly, this is so exciting, because we need to remember the purpose of the baskets in our life. It's a memorial. What has God done in your life? You keep the remembrance alive. You focus on him and his works and his word. You see who he is, and you remember that he is the I am for the right now. He's the I am for the future, and all the saints said. Amen. And so here we are, that's just finished. The baskets are on the boat. Verse 45 comes up, and he says, at once he insisted, somebody say insisted, that the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of Bethsaida while he was sending the throng away. And so what I'm saying to you, that what I see happening in this verse, the miracles just happened. The people are just been fed. They each got their personal basket. And he tells them to get on the boat and head to Bethsaida. He was sending the crowd away, but we'll see in the next verse or so that he was going to spend time with the Father, which was a manner of custom, what the Bible says for him. And, you know, I can rush ahead on that, because if it was a manner of custom for him, how much more so should it be for us?
Yes, amen.
So, here we go. He insisted. Now, if you have to insist on something, it means that there is some measure of resistance. You see that? Some measure of resistance. So what was it? I don't know. It, you know, it could be that they just wanted the master present with them. Because they were still learning, as we are learning, that even when we're not in church, he's with us. Even when we don't see evidence of him, he's with us. We haven't all learned how omnipresent he is. And so it very well may have been so simple that they just wanted the master with them. It could have been because a number of these guys were professional seamen, fishermen. It could have been that they were reading the weather. I don't know. I'm just sharing with you. Because sometimes we get hints of storms coming.
Yeah.
And I know this as a fisherman. I study the moon phase. I study the weather. I found out that fish aren't scared of rain. They're already wet. Rain don't bother them. As a matter of fact, it can kick up the barometer and cause them to be active. Moon phase, I fish moon phases. And it affects all of us and creatures. God set the moon phases, sun phases in order. I've learned to respect those. The greatest enemy to a fisherman is the wind. Everything can be lined up. It can be a beautiful, amazing day set forecast-wise, but if the wind's blowing too hard, it's going to beat you up. I believe that these professional fishermen, seamen, were reading the forecast. I don't know about you, but before Channel 11, as I was growing up in East Texas, I would go up to hear the old-timers sitting on the porch out front, and I'd listen to them talk and tell their stories over and over again. But it, no doubt, one of them would stop and say, I believe that we're going to have cloud cover tomorrow. I believe it's going to rain tomorrow. And you'd think, I don't see that. But those old-timers were connected to agriculture, more connected than we are, and didn't actually need Channel 11 to tell us if it was going to rain or what kind of day it was going to be the next day. You understand what I'm saying? I think that it may have been weather-related. They saw some signs of a storm coming, but Jesus insisted. Now, I want to tell you, he's said some things to us that he insists on. And so I could park there, but just one that I'll mention. He mentioned, he insisted that we go tell. It was not a suggestion, it was a commandment. And so I'm seeing Jesus at the boat with the disciples, and they're saying, well, you know, maybe, and he insists. Are you listening today? Because there's things that he'll speak into your life that he'll insist on. And he said, insist for them to get in the boat and go to Bethsaida. And the inferring is this, I'll meet you there. Okay, I'll meet you in Bethsaida. And so they get in the boat and they take off. Now, it's important for us to remember he's already present where we are going. He's always present where we are, and he's already present where we're going. He's in our future. And if he said, get into the ship and go to Bethsaida, we can trust his words with his direction. When he speaks a word of direction to you, that's his will. And I want to just throw this in, that it's important for us to value his words when you don't see any evidence of him. Do what he says. Part of following Jesus is obedience to follow. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put it to you like this, that your next miracle is where he's told you to go. Wow. It's possible to miss your miracle. Okay. He insists that we go. After he had taken leave of them, he went to the hills to pray, time alone with Father, fellowship with Father. Can't you imagine what that prayer life was like? It was a lot of love life in it. That's the way it should be for us. That's what we teach. It was love life relationship. Again, I'm bringing up love life relationship evidence. If my wife tells me she wants some time with me, I don't have to argue. I don't have to do a tug of war. I don't even have to pray about it. It's an automatic yes. When the Lord whispers to us that he wants time with us, it shouldn't be a tug of war. If there's a tug of war, something's wrong in the heart. Amen. It shouldn't be a tug of war. It shouldn't be something he has to convince us of. Just a whisper to come be with me, go be with him. Amen. I got tested on this morning because I got a whisper at 1 in the morning to come be with me. That's okay. You know, I'm on the Lord's schedule. I didn't even have to sneak around because the beautiful blonde was gone. My little brunette, the little kitty cat Alma, she don't care. She just follow me wherever I go. And so really and truly, between 1 and 3 o'clock, I was having a blast with the Lord. And somebody asked me one time, why don't you receive communion when you minister communion? I took communion at 1:30 this morning. Okay. But I believe in it that much. I believe in remembering. And remembering is a key word to your next miracle. So he's having great time, great love life. Fellowship is essential. If you ever think you get to the place that you don't need time, much time. Somebody said, well, what about how much time? No, it's quality time and it's quantity time. It's both. Now, when evening had come, in verse 47, when evening had come, the boat was out in the middle of the lake, and he was by himself on the land. So the Bible's being very, very clear. The disciples were in the boat, in the middle of the lake. He's on the shore. All right? You got the picture. There was a distance in miles, but there was not a distance from his presence. Amen. That's important. Because sometimes you may feel like, your feelings may say, you're miles away. But feelings are wrong because Jesus is omnipresent. They were not separated in presence. They were separated in miles. Look at verse 48. You may have never seen this before. And having seen that they were troubled and tormented in their rowing, for the wind was against them, about the fourth watch of the night. Now the fourth watch was between 3 and 6 a.m. And there's three D's. I'm going to point out three D's that tend to disturb us more than anything else. One is danger. We sense danger. Another one is distance. We feel that there's distance. And another one is darkness. We sense darkness. I'm telling you, there are some places that have greater levels of darkness than others. And I don't have time to explain that, but it's very, very true. So darkness, distance, and danger. Those three D's are no problem with Jesus. And he sees that they were troubled and tormented in their rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, I'm going to rush up to say this. Jesus didn't see them with his physical eye. He was in the same storm they were in. Okay? It was dark, and it was miles away. This was not something he saw with his physical eye. This is something Father showed him. And so I'm telling you, the Lord has a way as a shepherd of preparing us and giving us direction. Even though it's dark, it may be stormy, the Lord can speak and show you what's happening or what he's got in mind. And all the people said, amen. Amen. That sounds just like the Lord. And so he's able to do this. I want to also say that whenever the Lord tells you to do something, gives you direction, gives you instruction, there will always be some level of resistance. I'm telling you, if the wind's in your back, you may be wrong. There's a lot of times when the Lord whispers something for me to do that I experience the wind of resistance. Don't let the wind of resistance keep you from doing what the Lord says. I give the disciples honor on this, even though it was in the fourth watch, which means that they had been paddling to get to Bethsaida all night long. They were still fighting against the wind. I respect that. Heaven respects that. Don't fall into the wind. Okay? Continue to do what he told you to do. They were trying with their human effort to do that. And so look what happens. He came to them walking directly on the sea. Now he came right toward them. He could have walked along the seashore. He could have walked along the edge of the... No. He walked directly out there to them. He walked directly to them. And I want you to see this last part. And he acted as if he meant to pass them by. Now, part of the key in this 2020 Vision series is that we've got to recognize that with Jesus, and you're with Jesus, there is no limitations. We have to take human limitations, human walls, human restrictions, earthly restrictions, earthly limitations, and we have to throw them down. Because with Jesus, there's no limitations. He's the God of the much more. And he's been proving himself as the God of the much more, the I am, over and over again. He's not limited to human or earthly restrictions. Or he's not limited to earthly calendars.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. Yeah. Just to show you a sample, and I'll probably touch on this next week, because next week we're going to talk about Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. That's going to be so much fun. But I want to tell you, just to show you a hint that there's no limitations, John 6:21 mentions that when Jesus got into this boat, John 6:21 declares that they immediately appeared to where they were going. Now I want to tell you, you don't do that with human limitations. You don't do that with human or earthly time, space, travel. Okay? That was a miracle. Miracle upon miracle upon miracle. They suddenly appeared to where they were going. All right? Hey, you have these little shows about time travel. This is Jesus. This is the real. And they experienced it. They arrived. So he's omnipresent. He's all omnipotent, all powerful. He's omniscient. He's all knowing. He's watching over you. He knows and he cares. See that here. And he's more powerful than whatever's facing you. You see, they had already forgotten the lesson, the memory, the memorial of the loaves and the baskets of overflow. They had them with them, but they already forgot them. Hey, a love life response is that we remember. We practice remembering. Verse 49, look what happens. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was ghost. Look, give them some credit. They'd never seen this before. They had never taken a seminar in water walking. This is something they had never seen before. Here they are, professional guys out there on the water, been fighting a storm all night, and they see this appearance coming toward them walking on the water. They immediately thought it was a ghost. And look at this. And raised a deep, throaty shriek of terror. I just love the Word of God. Because the Word of God practices such level of openness. Now what this means, this deep throaty shriek of terror, means that they screamed like little girls, but with a manly voice. I just love that, don't you? And Pastor Tony, you want to give us a sample of that? There you go! Isn't that great? Can't you see? I love it that that's in the Word of God. That could have been left out, you know. I love that. He sees what the enemy sends to trouble and torment you. He sees through darkness. And he doesn't need explanation about it. He already knows. I kind of gave some direction to our mountain movers meeting the other night. Because sometimes, and I have found this in myself, is how I know it. I have found in myself that sometimes when I'm praying with a group that I start doing the storytelling information to God. Like he doesn't know. Now, Lord, you know this person has been through this and they've been through this and now, and here's the deal where they are. And Lord, you know that he already knows. Now, when you're alone with the Lord, tell him everything. Get it all out. Talk it all out. Details, feelings, emotions, you lay it all before him. But when you're praying and agreeing with two or three about recovering or restoration or taking authority over something, he doesn't need the storytelling. He already knows. Let's get on with the business. Well, amen, Brother Tim. Okay, that was good information. But he doesn't need a storytelling explanation. He already knows. The three D's, the darkness, he's the light.
Amen.
Say he's the light.
He's the light.
Danger, he's our divine protection. He's our way of escape. Distant, he's always present.
Amen.
Boy, I'm telling you, I love that about Jesus. Now, catch this right here. His rescue is coming faster than your human efforts. Is that great?
Yeah.
Because not only did he catch them, but he was going faster than they were. Hey, I want to put it personal to you like this. Your rescue from the Lord is coming faster than your financial planner. Your rescue from the Lord is coming faster than your doctor's efforts. Oh, man. That's real. I love this about Jesus. I get a kick out of this. I actually identify with this kind of because he acted as if he meant to pass by them. Now, this is not the first time. The first time I ever saw this is when I was meditating on the Emmaus Road. Because you see the same thing. Here's this precious little couple. They're walking. And Jesus comes up and he's ministering the word. He's pointing out himself in the word of God. The word of God's burning within them. And then he acted as if he meant to pass on by. But they requested, wait. They insisted, wait. They were aggressive in causing him to come on in and stay. And after they were assertive in getting him to stay, that's when they got the revelation that it was Jesus.
Amen.
Do you understand that if they had not reached out there and taken possession of the invitation? I want to say it to you like this. You're going to hear this in 2020 Vision Series. He reached out there. They reached out there and owned it.
Yeah.
There's something there. And I want to tell you, he acted as if he was going to pass by. I'm going to announce it like this. He's not pushing his way into your ship. But he is passing your way. I love it that he's passing your way. He's always passing your way. He is the way of escape. He wants for you to use your mind and your will and your heart to invite him into your ship and submit the situation to him. Now, if you're fearful, these guys were fearful. The storm, the winds, the waves, what they thought was a ghost, it was a boat of challenge because they were under fear, under the banner of fear. The banner of fear on your ship is a challenge. You got to change banners and let the Lord be your banner. Let the Lord be your victory. And then the ship is renamed. It goes from being the boat of challenge to the ship of adventure. Because faith rules. And when faith rules, the situation's the same, but the perspective is different. Because you're seeing Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you'll see kingdom clearly. There's all kind of scriptural examples. I love the one about Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was the blind beggar. And Jesus was passing by. And he heard that Jesus was coming. He sensed the crowd coming. And he began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says that the crowd said, hey, shh, shh. Don't disturb the master. Be quiet. I'm telling you, people will tell you to shut up and try to get you to be quiet from being assertive and reaching out and owning the opportunity with Jesus. And so he did it a number of times. And the Bible is real clear that he continued to cry out louder. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. The blind man was healed. But I want to tell you, if he would have followed the suggestions of humans, he would have never received his miracle.
Amen.
He chose to persevere, to be persistent, to be aggressive, to be assertive. Somebody say amen. The same thing with the 10 lepers. You know, it was not proper protocol for lepers to ask for healing. But they did. And they received. It was against the law in all kind of ways. As a matter of fact, the little woman, the little bleeding woman, could have been stoned to death. She broke so many laws. But she persisted. She pursued. She was assertive, Pastor. She was aggressive in her approach to own the words that she had heard about Jesus that he heals. And I want to tell you, in that, he's passing by your way. Reach out and own it. I explained this to my grandkids in North Carolina. This is children's church stuff. This is not complicated. They understood this. I told them, dead fish float downstream. But I want to tell you, you get a word from God, you see Jesus as the answer to what you're facing. And we pursue him. Our heart, our mind, our will, we reach out. We own the promise that he's already given. We own the blessing that he's already provided. Is someone listening? See, that's how we ask, we seek, we knock, we be determined, we be diligent, we reach out and take it. Never give up! Somebody say it, never give up. You see, what we're talking about is positioning your heart. This is what spiritual exercise is. It's positioning your heart to receive, positioning your heart to believe. It's the spiritual rest that Jesus is for us. And so that's what we practice. We're not doing something to earn something from God. We're seeing God and we're seeing the yes that he's given us and we're seeing it with our name on it. And we practice the exercise of faith to receive it. Do you see the difference? Well, they didn't recognize him. They'd never seen this before. And I want to announce something to you. When you're under the banner of fear, when fear is operating in your life, you won't even recognize the good when it's coming. They didn't recognize him. Here was the answer. Here was the I am walking into their storm, wanting to get into their boat, and they didn't recognize the good because they were under the banner of fear. Even the good seemed scary. That's why they were screaming instead of praising. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Fear is the enemy. Fear in the present. If you're walking in fear in the present, it invites ghosts of the past. That's worth meditating on. Fear perverts your perspective. It paints a picture in your soul in that imagination room. Fear paints a picture of death and doom, doom and gloom in your present and future. For look at verse 50. For they all saw him and were agitated. They were troubled and filled with fear and dread. If we're full of fear and dread, that's why we don't praise. That's why we scream instead of praising. Look what happens. But immediately what happens is that he talked with them. And this is what he said. Be of good cheer. Take heart. I am. And he gives specific instructions. Stop being alarmed and afraid.
Amen.
Now for Jesus to say that means there's a choice there. All right? I'm going to point this out to you. They didn't recognize that presence, but they did recognize his voice. They recognized his voice by the content. And I want to tell you something. He said, my sheep know my voice. You may not be able to see him or recognize, but I want to tell you deep down inside, you listen for the Lord, you can hear his voice. Because he says, my sheep know my voice. You can hear God. Now, I want to tell you what he didn't say. I'm going to come over here to Pastor James and Gina. And let's just pretend y'all in the boat and y'all all scared. Okay? He didn't come up here and say, "Oh, I understand you being scared. I'm so sorry you're scared. You know, it's probably my fault. I should have been here. And I'm so sorry. Listen, let me come in there in the boat with you and let's just all be scared together. Let's just try to find comfort in our scaredness." Now, he didn't say that. As a matter of fact, what he said to people that are scared may sound rude. "Hey, scaredy cats. Screaming like girls with a manly voice. Be of good cheer. Take heart. Have courage. I am is here." Do you see it? Stop. Here's how. Just rolled up in sensitivity. Stop being scared. Okay? Stop being afraid. Okay. We can comfort people in fear, but part of the comfort is pointing them to the Comforter.
Yes.
And then we must build a bridge to the truth, because that's what real love does. We build a bridge to the truth that, you know what? It goes like this. Let's go into thanksgiving. Let's go into praise. Let's remember who He is. He's the I Am for everything you need. And let's stop being afraid. Let's stop camping out in camp fear. And let's go to camp faith. And we may have to go to camp faith by faith. You say, how do we do that? Well, it's His faith to start with. His faith will make it happen. It's not your faith. It's His faith. And you know what He says? I'm everything that you need. That's what I Am means. Rejoice by faith over fear feelings. We got to realign our heart and our mind to cheer and to thanksgiving and into faith. I'm everything you need. We don't rejoice and celebrate Him because our hearts are troubled and agitated because of fear. I'm everything you need. Don't stay alarmed. Don't stay afraid. Fear not. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe. And we do that by receiving and embracing His words. When we receive and embrace His words, you're going to see this. We receive His peace. And remember, He's already spoken words of direction. And when the Lord gives you words of direction, your peace lays in those words. Because He is the Word. And He is your peace. He went up into the boat with them. And look at this. The wind ceased. It sank to rest as if exhausted by its own beating. It whooped itself into rest. Because of His presence. Now I'm announcing to you, with the very presence of Jesus in you, when you walk into situations of fear and agitating and trouble, discouragement and depression, the very presence of Jesus walks into you. I'm announcing this to you. Peace walks into the room. Peace walks into the room. I'm not shocked when people come to my house and say, "There's a lot of peace here." Yes, it is. And you know what? The longer they stay there, the better they feel. I'm not shocked by that. When I walked into a house not too long ago of a whole family that was sick, I want to tell you something. I expect them to get better. Not because of me, but because the Prince of Peace Himself is in the room.
That's right.
Is that too much for you? I'm telling you, the very healer Himself, not Tim, but the very healer Himself is in me. And I want to tell you, it doesn't require a bunch of spiritual gymnastics for the Lord to manifest Himself. I better not go there. Okay, here we go. I got more to say on that. We got more in the series coming. Hey, when He steps in your boat, and He steps in your boat when He's invited. No, don't be one of these that say, "Well, here I am in my boat. If He wants to get in, He will. If He wants to rescue me, He will." Now, I want to tell you, There's a part here that we've got to own. We got to reach out and grab it and make us up. When he's invited, he steps in your boat, the storm stops, there's rest and peace, and we say, wow! Because the I am is the way of escape. Hey, get this right here. He was walking on top of what was destructive to humans. He walked on top of the trouble that was destroying humans. He's on top. He's present. Hey, the three D's, here's the three P's. He's present, he's powerful, he's peaceful. And all the saints said.
Amen.
And he is that today. The very same Jesus you see in the Word is here today, dwelling in your life. And here's the reason that they... I'm going to say this. How much time? Yeah, I do have time. I got to go there. Here's the reason, because they had been working all night long for about a 2-hour journey. Okay? Here's the reason they were not already in Bethsaida. Would you like to see that? Here's the reason. They failed to consider. Consider means to remember. Baskets of remembrance, the memorial, remembering that he's the I am, that he can take a kid's lunch and feed thousands and thousands of people. Wait a minute. He's the same I am that can take after a night of fishing, human exhaustion, wrong place, wrong time. He can say, let down the net, and the net is filled with fish right out of heaven that were so great, that were so amazing, the greatest catch they ever had. It was a net-breaking, boat-sinking harvest. Amen. And they all knew it was a miracle.
Amen.
They didn't have any trash fish to throw out. It was all great fish right out of heaven.
Amen.
Hey, amen. Same Jesus that they'd already seen take vessels of boring, stale water and turn into refreshing, invigorating wine, being the best wine that the ceremony master said he had ever tasted in his life. That's the same Jesus. He's the great I am. And they failed to remember his works. Look at verse 52. I'm showing it to you right here. They failed to consider. They failed to remember. Do you remember Abraham? He refused to consider where he came from, his family being there, him missing them. He failed to consider his age, the lack of power and strength in his body, the lack of power and strength in his wife's body. He failed to consider that. What he did consider, what he did remember, what he did reflect on, what he did meditate on was the stars, because God said, your children are going to be like the stars. And he did meditate and think on the sands. See, daytime, nighttime meditation. Your children would be like the sands. He was in a lot of sand. That's what he meditated on what God said, and not on the earthly facts. Wow. Okay, let me announce this to you. This is faith versus fear. When we forget the revelation of the I am, we forget that we're water walkers.
Amen. Tell the truth.
I'm telling you, Pastor James, I'm telling you, no limits. If they had practiced remembering that the I am is with them, he's present, he's peaceful, he's powerful, they could have walked on the water. The boat going under, they could have walked on the water, all 12. I can see them out there doing the Jewish dance, all circled up, holding hands. Why are we able to do this? Because the I am is with us, and he has given us direction. On his words, we're going to Bethsaida. We're walking on his words, not on the water. We're walking on his words. And they could have danced their way to Bethsaida. Oh, well, wait a minute. He's very peaceful. You know what they could have done in the boat? They could have confessed, the I am is with me. He is peace. He's my peace in this storm. And you know what? They could have had so much peace in the middle of the storm. Am I right?
Yeah, yeah.
They could have had so much peace that they could have become the first submarine to ever go to Bethsaida. That's how powerful the I am. How about this? How about him being our way of escape? They could have received the immediate arrival that Jesus ministered to them when he got on the boat. They were all of a sudden where they were. I'm telling you, we got to take the limits off. If we're operating by fear, we're saying no, we got limitations and restrictions. If we're operating by faith, the limitations are down. All right? The teaching, they forgot, they failed to remember and understand the teaching and the meaning of the miracle of the loaves. Do you see it? They failed to walk in it, understand, walk in it. In fact, their hearts had grown callous. Fear makes your heart callous. Faith makes your heart tender. Fear makes your heart callous. Look at the way the Amplified brings it out. Their hearts had become dull. Somebody say dull disciples. That's what, there's a lot of dull disciples. Because we fail to consider. We fail to remember. We fail to understand the meaning of the miracles. Remember the basket. It's here in the boat. And their hearts had become dull and they had lost the power of understanding. Now let me tell you about the power of understanding. I'm going to explain it to you like this. They still had information in their mind. But because of fear, they had forgotten the revelation. You see, that's why that no matter what class we have, Barbara, thank you. Pastor Don, thank you. We're going to start another home group this year. Thank you ahead of time that, you know what? It's more than information that we communicate.
Yeah.
There's a level of information we need. But I want to tell you, the more powerful than the information is the revelation of who He is. When we practice seeing God in the Word, wow, that brings revelation. When we practice seeing God in His works, that brings revelation. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so, we battle to rest. It's the belief. Keep our hearts in faith. Don't be a dull disciple. Peter walked on the words of Jesus. And I know there's people that want to rush and say, yeah, but he nearly drowned. But I want to tell you, he's the only one. This is next week. He's the only other human besides Jesus that can say, I'm a water walker. I want to tell you, he's called us to be water walkers. If Peter could walk on water, could all of them walk on water? Okay, it's a result of not meditating, not remembering the I am, the provider, the baskets of overflow. He's always more than enough. Let's give thanks before rescue, until rescue, after rescue. Meditate on His word and works and remember who He is. He's the great I am. Write it down in your book of remembrance. This is how to see Jesus clearly. That's the answer right there. It's faith versus fear. When we focus on fearful facts versus revelations of faith, our hearts become dull also. Our hearts become hard. We forget who He is and we forget who we are in Him. They discovered Him afresh in this rescue, a fresh memorial. He's continuing to give us fresh memorials on our journey. Monuments of remembrance. Keep remembrance alive. Focus on them. That's what communion is. You know, we've taught this. This is what communion is. We take the bread. We practice remembering His body was broken that we might be healed. We take the juice. We practice remembering His blood was shed that we might be forgiven, that we might be free.
Amen.
So, 2020 vision brings 2020 victory.
Amen.
He is present to help you be victorious. Not to help you fail. But to help you be victorious. He paid the price for your favored victory. Practice your position of rightness. Righteousness. He's our favor and victory in life. I can't probably completely explain this right now. But I want to say, we give the enemy too much credit, I think. Because I'm announcing to you, Bible says he's a defeated foe.
That's right.
Jesus made a public display of him and all the demons. Defeat. He can't read your mind. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-present. He's not all-powerful. He's a defeated foe. But I want to tell you, I think that we give him too much credit. I'm going to say it to you like this. He is a roaring lion. The Bible says that. On the cross, what Jesus did is he took his teeth out and he took his fangs off and claws. Fangs out, claws off. And so, the best he can do is lie to you. Are you listening to me? The best he can do is deceive you and lie to you. He can come up like a roaring lion, like he's going to eat you up. But the best he could do would be to lick you to death. Gum you to death. Paw you. Without claws. Because he's a defeated foe. But if we go to fear, and see, this is the thing. He knows that if we go to fear, he's a winner. And we're a defeated one. And so I want to tell you, roaring lions come by. Storms come. Needs come. To see if we're going to go to faith or to fear.
Amen.
Brother, we go to faith, he recognizes it. He won't hang around too long. Because believers that are operating in faith submit to God, resist the roaring lion, and the roaring lion has got to flee.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
May not happen in the same hour, but as we continue to resist and submit to God, he has got to flee. That's Bible. And so I'm telling you, the enemy is going to recognize if you know who you are. If you're not going to fear, you can stand in faith and give thanks. And the enemy will move on to another target because he's looking for victims, not for victors. Hey, this is the year, 2020 vision, no more spectating. We're not a spectator anymore. We're a participator. He paid the price for all of us. To be a participator. Jesus took the limits off. It's by grace through faith. We have a supernatural norm because of Jesus. I got a couple more statements. And we'll pick up next week. One of the statements is this. Is that Bible says that when you receive Christ, you become a new creation. A new creation. And so in this new creation, there's new DNA. I'm telling you, the Bible said your spirit has the full measure of God in you. It's a new DNA. And it's a DNA that's programmed you to victory in Jesus. You're the head, not the tail. Above only, not beneath. That's pretty important when you're in a ship and there's a storm. That you're above only and not beneath. Amen? That is abundant life. Needs come, storms come, same answer. Whether it's wine, whether it's fish, whether it's heavenly tacos, or whether it's rescue from a storm, same answer. Remember the overflow baskets. They represent that the Lord loves to love us too much. That he's a much more father. He always leads us into triumph. He is present. He's powerful. And he's peaceful.
Amen.
He overcomes danger, darkness, and distance.
Yeah.
Present, powerful, peace. That's Jesus.
Amen.
Let's invite him in. Invite them into your ship. Go from a boat of fear of failure to a ship of adventure and courage under the banner of faith. He's made a way for you. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We celebrate your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you have prepared the way and paid the price for our victory. I speak in the name of Jesus that our eyes and ears will be opened, that we will see ourselves as you see us, that by the works of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, you see us already victorious. You see us already champions. You see us as already overcomers. And Lord, we want to see ourselves as you see us, that we're already victorious. And we don't have to put up with the lying, thieving, toothless, clawless, roaring lion intimidating us into not receiving your best. And I just pray over your people this morning, and I declare in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, come. By your works and by your words, we want to see who you really are, that we can see ourselves as you see us. And we give you praise and we give you thanksgiving. Lord, we say yes to your yes this morning. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen, amen and amen. I hope that you received out of that this morning. There was a little more to go on, but you know what? That can be my intro next week. I really want you to be here next week because we get out of the boat. I want to tell you. Hey, oh, it's so hard for me not to preach it today. But let me just announce this to you, that he's already paid the price for all of us to be water walkers. You're not going to be a water walker unless you get out of the boat, friend. We got to get out of the boat first. I want to speak on that. I want to encourage you next week. I want to challenge you next week, because there very well may be a storm coming in 2020. Am I right? But I want to tell you, the one that causes the storms to cease is right there within you. We have a lot of hope for this year, 2020 vision. I love you and I bless you this morning. I'm so glad you were here this morning.